A tree that doesn't really produce fruit is like a lot of people that call themselves Christians. We're in our message series winding up today called Christian-ish. What does it mean to be Christian-ish? It means to have a half-hearted faith in God, claiming that we're followers of Jesus, but not truly and faithfully following him. A lot of people would call themselves Christians. You might call yourself a Christian. You might even believe in God. You may even go to church. But there are many people that claim to be Christians, but don't produce much fruit. And not only are they not fruitful, meaning the loving fruits of the fear, like love and peace and joy and patience and kindness, not only do you not see the positive fruits, I know some people that call themselves Christians, but sometimes you actually see the opposite. There are some people that claim Jesus that can kind of be rude or selfish or like spiritually arrogant or judgmental or incredibly hypocritical. There are a lot of people that claim to be Jesus followers, but when you get close, they're all leaves and no fruit. And I don't want to get too personal, but I wonder how many of you may know someone that says, yeah, you know, I'm a Christian, but when you look at their lives, you actually don't see a lot of evidence that they're truly following Jesus. If you know somebody like that, you can raise your hand. Don't point at them. We'll pray for them. Don't point at them. But a lot of us know someone. Now, if it were later in the message, but it's too early for this, I'd ask you if you're ever a bit like that, that you claim Jesus, but you don't always display the fruits of the Spirit. But again, that would be way too early to do that to you. So we'll wait until later in the message to ask you that again. God's Word, His living Word, that sharp and active and never returns void, His Word is very, very clear that as disciples of Jesus, we should produce or we should bear fruit. And not apples or pears, but what the Bible calls spiritual fruit. And Jesus told us this in John 15:5. He said this, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, what are you going to do? Jesus said, you're going to bear much fruit. Apart from Jesus, apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. This is to my Father's glory, that you do what? That you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my true disciples. In other words, Jesus is saying that you actually demonstrate your faithfulness to me by showing spiritual fruit. You show that you are a disciple of Jesus when the fruits of the Spirit come out in your life. And Jesus goes on to tell us that someone will actually know that you are committed to Jesus by the fruit that you show. Here's what he said in Matthew 7. He said, you will know them, you'll know the Christians, by their fruits. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Jesus gives us this really powerful and personal metaphor. He says, you are like a tree, and a tree produces fruit. And that's how a non-believing world will know that you belong to Jesus, because they'll see the spiritual fruit come out of your life. Not just the words you say, but the way you live. In other words, they won't just know you by what you say, but by how you live. It's not that we claim Jesus, but the fruits of the Spirit display Jesus every single day. And many of you, you've seen it. A lot of you, you're genuinely like this. Some of you, you know somebody. Like, people know you and they see that you're full of love and you're full of joy and you're full of peace, and people want to be around you. It's not that you're perfect, but they know that you care about them. And you obviously care about other people. And some of you are like that. There's just something coming out of you that other people are like, I want to be around that. That you live like Christ and you love like Christ and you make a difference like Christ and you care like Christ. And the way that you live demonstrates your commitment to Jesus, and they see the fruits of the Spirit. There are some of you that are like that. Then there are others who call themselves Christians, and they may be able to quote a lot of the Bible, and they may have Bible knowledge, but they lack integrity. They'll say one thing, and they'll do another. They say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but a lot of times they're rude or harsh or selfish. Now, we're deep enough into the message now for me to ask you this. When others look at you, what do they see? Is it clear by the fruit of your life, the way you treat people, the way you carry yourself? Is it clear that you are a follower of Jesus? Do they see that you're loving and that you're patient and that you're kind and that you're full of joy? Or you call yourself a Christian, but you really aren't very caring and you don't really have a whole lot of time for people, and you might be inconsiderate at times and unkind? Galatians chapter 5. And you can read about this in Galatians 5. It lists for us 9 fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. There is also fruits of something else, and it's not the Spirit, but it's the flesh. The Apostle Paul talks about all of the time that we're basically living from one of two things. If you are a follower of Jesus, what happens? Your spirit is born anew. Your spirit is connected to God. The problem is our spirit is at constant war against our flesh. And when Paul calls it the flesh, he's not talking about, you know, your skin. The Greek word is sarx. It means your not spiritual nature. It means your fleshly nature. Your flesh wants to do what's selfish. Your spirit wants to do what's God-honoring. And I'll show you the fruits of the Spirit, and I'll show you the fruits of the flesh. And we'll kind of ask ourselves, are you more characterized by the fruits of the Holy Spirit, or are you more characterized by the fruits of the flesh? Look at the 9 of them. Are you more loving, Or do you find that life's more about you, that you're more selfish? Ask yourself, are you more joyful? Or do you often walk around just frustrated? Peace. Are you more peaceful? Or do you find yourself, like many people today, living in an ongoing world of anxiety? You're often anxious. Do you find that you're more patient with people when things don't go your way? Or do you find that you're impatient? You're always rushed. Nothing's going as you would want. Do you find that you're kind to people? Or you got things to do? You don't really have time to be kind. And you could actually come across as uncaring. Do you find that there's goodness in you? That you show good fruits of the Spirit? Or do you have a bad attitude, bad mouth, bad fruit? Do you find that you are more faithful with your friends? You stand by them? Your word is good? Or are you occasionally disloyal? You might talk behind their backs or gossip and such. Are you more gentle with people or are you harsh? And then finally, you can ask, are you self-controlled, the fruit of the Spirit? Or do you find yourself indulgent, giving in to the things that you want when you want them? What would you say? Are you more characterized by the fruits of the Spirit or by the fruits of the flesh? Here's where I'm going to make a theological mess and make it kind of weird. It's complicated because I actually see myself in both of them. Maybe some of you are like that. Like sometimes I can be really, really patient and godly. Other times I ain't got no time for nothing and nobody, and I'm impatient. And here's what I've noticed about me, is that almost every time my life displays the fruits of the flesh, in other words, almost every time that I'm showing bad fruit, I tell myself, I got a good excuse. Someone else's fault. I'm just under pressure. There's a lot going on. You don't understand my life. I'm facing a lot. If you got bad fruit, I'm judging you. If I got bad fruit, I got a good reason. And what I've noticed is even though I tell myself I've got a good excuse, if I belong to Jesus and I'm connected to the vine, there is no excuse for bad fruit. Let me say it again. If you belong to Jesus and you're connected to the vine, there is no excuse for bad fruit. And here's where Jesus gets touchy. He actually, in the text, he talks about wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. He talks about those that are not followers of Jesus that pretend like they are. And I don't know a lot of people that just do this intentionally, like going, you know, I'm going to try to fool people. But I think there are a lot of people that may actually fool themselves that would say, oh yeah, I may not kind of do the church thing. I'm kind of Christian-ish, but then we dress up the flesh to make it look spiritual. Like we literally don't have much good fruit. Like a lot of our fruit's bad fruit, but we try to make our bad fruit look good. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like sometimes we just learn to talk the talk. Anybody know this? We've got our own language. And you can like act spiritual. How you doing? Praise the Lord, brother. I'm good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That spiritual talk. You know how you doing? Oh, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And there are a lot of people that talk the talk, but don't walk the walk. Do you know anybody like that? Are you ever like that? There's also a look. If you're around long enough, you start knowing the K-Love songs. You know, and you got the radio on, and your bio changes on your social media page, and it says God's first. But you know he's not, because we're the masters of disguise. We may have actually been changed by Jesus at some point, but when our fruit's not good, we start to disguise it and make it look like it's good, and we're really good. I mean, the church world, I mean, we're so creative. We can disguise gossip as concern. The best, the most elite in the masters of disguise, gossip as a prayer request. Let's just pray for Sister So-and-so. Oh, she needs prayer. She needs the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, brother, what she's doing behind closed doors, we disguise. And then we can get really creative. Like we can disguise legalism as holiness, where we're like so self-righteous and judgmental of others. But the reality is that it's a performance-based Christianity. That's not a true reflection of who Jesus is. I know people that might even trick themselves to saying and believe in, like, hey, I'm just righteously angry. And the truth of the matter is, you're just plain old-fashioned bitter. It's common, like on social media, to say, hey, I'm promoting Jesus on my social media. But if you look kind of carefully, it's way more about self-promotion than it is about Jesus' promotion. And this one, like, sometimes you're like, yeah, pastor, preach. And other times, I should have skipped this Sunday, right? Some people will tell themselves, I don't have time to serve. I don't have time to serve. I'm practicing self-care. Others have mastered the art of selfishness, literally not doing anything for anybody else, and no real spiritual fruit. And we find ourselves dressing up the flesh, but Jesus didn't call us to dress up the flesh, but to crucify it, to die to it, to crucify our flesh. So as we stick in with the vine and abide in the vine, and the fruits of the Spirit come out supernaturally. And the reason this talk is really challenging, and I kind of knew it going in, is it would be really easy for you to hear this talk and think, I know somebody who needs to hear this. And it's really, really hard to say, oh my gosh, I need to hear this, because it's really hard to see our own blind spots in the mirror. It's hard to see our own hypocrisy in the mirror. So what I want to do is I want to ask you two questions and just let maybe the Holy Spirit speak to you about these two questions. The first question I want to ask you is this. How pleased do you think God is with the quality of your fruits? Let that sit in for a moment. When other people look at you at work, does everybody know? Not just by what you say, not just by the shirt you wear, not just by the words you speak, but by the way you live. Do they know and see the fruits of the spirits in you? Or have you worked at a place for 7 years and someone says, "Oh my gosh, you're a Christian too? I had no idea." Do the people at your school, your classmates, do they see that you're literally serving others? You're more others focused, that your life exists for the glory of God and to make a difference with other people? Or do they look on and say, you're busy and you're just kind of selfish, and I'm sure you probably serve somebody. I've never really seen it, but you probably do somewhere. How pleased do you think love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, faithfulness? How pleased do you think God is with the quality of your fruit? The second question is similar, but we're asking this way: how pleased do you think God is with the quantity of your fruit? How pleased do you think God is with the quality and the quantity of your spiritual fruit? Because I don't want to be selectively loving, but I want to be overflowing with love. And I don't want just peace whenever everything's okay in my life. So ask yourself, genuinely, how pleased, if God wants us to bear fruit, if abide in the vine and you will produce fruit, how pleased do you think God is with the quality of your fruit and the quantity of your fruit? And so if you say, like me, and I'm just going to say, I genuinely need improvement here, what do we do? How do we produce spiritual fruit? So we've set up the message. Now, how do we do this? How do we apply God's word? How do we produce more fruit? For years, what I kind of thought and would have said is you have a relationship with Jesus, and you live for Jesus. You have a relationship with Jesus, and you live for Jesus. That would be close, but it's actually wrong. And let me try to explain. Let's look again at John 15. Jesus was very likely near a vineyard when he was saying this to his disciples. He said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches." So who is Jesus? Jesus is the vine. Who are we? We are the branches. He said, "I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, if you're connected to the vine, and I in you," is a promise, "you don't have to do anything. You will naturally," or even more accurately, you'll supernaturally bear much fruit. Now, if you're disconnected from me, Jesus says, you can't do anything. I am the vine, you are the branches. So let's nail down the players. There's two players in this story. There's Jesus and there's us. And the metaphor tells us this: who is Jesus? Jesus is the vine. And who are we? You are the branch. Let's personalize it. Jesus is the vine and I am the branch. What happens when the branch is connected to Jesus, the vine? It bears fruit. That's it. Boom. When you're connected to the spiritual source, the Spirit produces spiritual fruit. When you, the branch, are connected to Jesus, the vine, you are loving and joyful and peace. Now, does the branch have a relationship with the vine? The answer is yes. But it's way more than just a relationship. So yes, we have a relationship with Jesus, the vine, but it's not just a relationship. The branch needs the vine to survive. The vine is the source of life for the branch. So let me illustrate it this way, in a little weird one. Imagine you could talk to a baby in the womb. The baby's alive in the womb, and imagine if you could talk to the baby. You can't do it. It's silly, I know. A baby can't talk. But imagine if this is a really smart baby. You say, hey, baby, do you have a relationship with your mom? What would the baby do? Baby's going to give you a weird look. Bro. The reason the baby said bro is because this is a smart baby and a cool baby. Bro, a relationship, like I literally live inside my mom. It's more than a relationship. Like she breathes, I breathe. She drinks a milkshake, I get a milkshake. She likes chocolate, I like it. My entire existence is dependent on the mom. And that's what Jesus is trying to tell us. And he uses the same word 11 times in this chapter, 11 times over and over and over again. He uses the Greek word meno. And this word, it means to remain. It means to abide. It means to dwell. It means to live in. 11 times he says you gotta remain connected to the source of all life. And if you remain connected, you will produce fruit. This is what he says every time it's underlined. That's the word meno. And he says, remain in me, dwell in me, live in me. And as you remain in me and dwell in I in you, I remain in you. Also, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain. It must abide. It must live in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in the vine. Jesus says, abide in the vine. Stay connected to the vine. So you don't just have a relationship with Jesus. You remain in him. You live in him. You live by him. You live through him. You dwell in him. And then what do? Then you live for Jesus, right? Not exactly. You abide in him. Then if you live for him, the focus is still on you. If you're trying to live for him, then you're focusing on your works and your efforts. And that's where so many of us get it wrong. And we end up becoming Christian-ish. We believe in him, but we still think it's about us. I've got to stop sinning. And I've got to stop thinking bad thoughts. And I've got to stop saying bad words, even though it's so hard. Because have you seen the way people drive all the time? And I've got to produce spiritual fruit, which is really, really hard. Because I've got the kids. They drive me crazy. I've got to. And Jesus is showing us this. He's showing us, don't focus on production. Focus on connection. Stay connected to the vine. Abide in the vine. And if you stay connected, you will bear fruit. Jesus is the vine. You are the branch. What's your assignment? Be the branch. Be the branch. Stay connected to Jesus. Abide in Him. Now, how do you do that? I got two answers. I got the normal answer, and I got a better answer. The normal answer, and it's a good answer, is you abide in Jesus by doing this. You pray. Of course you do. You talk to Him because He's relational, and you worship Him. Of course you do, because He inhabits your worship, and you read God's Word. Of course you do, because how can God renew your mind unless you know His Word? How can His Word direct your steps unless you hide His Word in your heart and you obey God's Word and you do life together in community? And so that's the normal answer. And all those things are important. But let me give you a better one. Let's just get above that. Instead of just the, you know, here's the little things, let's take it a step above, because this is what Paul says when he's saying, hey, here's the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, you know, the goodness. Then right after that, in verse 25, he says this. He says, since we live by the Spirit, let us do what? He says, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Since we're crucifying the flesh so we don't produce the bad fruits of the flesh, since we're dying to the flesh, we're going to live by the Spirit. So what do? We keep in step. We keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step, like literally you're remaining so close to Jesus that every step you take, He directs. Every thought you think comes from His heart. You bury His Word in your heart, so His power and truth comes through you. You keep in step with the Spirit. And this is what we do with Jesus. We abide in Him, and He nudges us. He prompts us. It's not like lightning from heaven is sometimes, but it's usually His Holy Spirit convicting us. Say this. Do this. Hey, I know you're busy, but why don't you slow down and serve this person? Hey, I know that you're stressed out right now, but hey, remember, there's joy that goes beyond the things of this world, and there is a peace that's very, very real. And how do you get that? You don't produce it. You stay connected to it. And the Holy Spirit produces it through you. So I would ask you, how pleased is God with the quality of your fruit? And how pleased is He with the quantity of your fruit? And the reason why I tell you that I need this is because my fruit is not always great. You need to draw closer. What's your assignment? Not try harder. Draw closer. Be the branch. Abide, remain, be faithful to Jesus. A faithful life is a faithful life. It's a fruitful life. And if you stay connected, He will produce fruit through you.